Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we have a visit from Lisa Kivrist, farmer, innkeeper, author. She and her husband John own In Serendipity Farms and B&B just outside Monroe, and they published a new book. It's called The Farmstead Chef, and we'll be talking with her about her book and about being a chef and, I'll tell you what, a whole lot more. And we're also going to talk to Judith Sears Poisson. Just 8 hours left in the Half the Time pledge drive to raise money in support of the programs that you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. 8 hours, Judith.
Yep, this is the last day of this Half the Time drive, and it's coming to an end. The success of this drive depends on you, our listeners. You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, the goal was, I believe, 90 pledges or 80 pledges, and we received 59. So we didn't quite meet our goal. This hour, the goal is 90 pledges, and these hourly goals are very important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, and because this drive is half the time of a normal fall drive, these goals are bigger than usual. That means there's no time for delay. It's the last day. We need your help right now at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And thanks if you've already given for this fall drive. And if you haven't pledged yet, there's still time. Not a lot, but there's still some time. The Half the Time pledge drive ends at 7 o'clock tonight. Make your pledge right now. Put a vote in for this program and help us reach the overall goal for the drive.
And you might wonder, well, why is that important? Because these are the funds we need to bring you the programs you count on all year long. You choose the amount. It's up to you. The important thing is to make that commitment right now.
And all you have to do is donate at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
We know that if you boil it right down, you give to WPR to support the programs. But as an added incentive, we have something special for you, too.
Yeah, we sure do. You can receive the book Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivrist when you donate $120 or more. It's a lovely book. We'll be talking about it over the next hour or so. But whatever the amount, maybe it isn't 120, maybe it's 180 for you, or maybe it's 50. Whatever the amount, at WPR.org, that's where to go, or 888-202-2552. Ask for the book Farmstead Chef as your thank you gift when you give 120 or more.
Like Larry said, in just a moment, we'll be talking to Lisa Kivrist, innkeeper, farmer, co-author of Farmstead Chef, about delicious foods that are also good for the earth. Discussions like this are possible because of your financial support. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've shortened our fall pledge drive to just 6 days from 12, and we're asking for your contribution right now to make sure we have the money it takes to provide the programs you count on. So give as generously as you can, dollar or two a week, or any amount that fits your budget, but do it now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, in the last hour, there were 27 new pledgers, which is really great.
That's great.
We hear from a lot of first-time pledgers who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college and can finally afford to give. Or people who turn 30 or maybe 40 and realize, I guess I'm a grown-up now. It's time to give to WPR.
Giving money is something you believe in, a service you rely on. It's a great way to commemorate a new phase in your life. We certainly encourage it. You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Larry, we're still looking for 88 more pledges in the next, 80 minutes or so. Help us out now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This Half the Time pledge drive ends at 7 o'clock tonight. We need a big, big response right now to raise what it takes to pay for the premium. So don't delay. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Ask for the book, Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivirist, with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now. Any amount is appreciated and welcome at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you very much. You'll come back.
I will.
All right. Well, in the meantime, let's turn our attention to Lisa Kivirist. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Larry.
Good to have you back. And I've been really having a good time going through your new book.
Thank you very much.
It's a pretty cool book. I think the recipes in it are wonderful, but I also think there's a philosophy that kind of drives your business.
Very much so, and it's that idea that we can all be, and we all are, farmstead chefs, in that by reconnecting with our farmstead roots, particularly so profound here in Wisconsin, of self-sufficiency and self-reliance and independence and community and all the seasonal and fresh local flavors that go with that, we can better connect to our food sources, the environment around us, and most importantly, the people in our lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me turn to the listeners. Do you prioritize buying seasonal or locally grown food? What kinds of relationships do you have with the people who grow your food or raise the meat that you eat? Are those connections important to you? How much of what you and your family consume is actually grown and raised by you or by a local farmer? Lots of things we can talk about as we visit with Lisa Kivirist, one of the authors of Farmstead Chef. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Or go to my Facebook page, at The Larry Mueller Show. And you can post a question, comment, or a photo right there. Will you talk about values like Thomas Jefferson, the image of a nation full of yeoman farmers? How does in serendipity fit into that?
You bet, because in many cases, rekindling what we have and will have, we strongly believe in this country, of reconnecting with those farmstead roots. We literally live on a farm outside of Monroe, and we grow and raise our own food there for ourselves and the bed and breakfast in our local community. But things are very exciting today in that you can be a farmstead chef wherever you live. You can definitely be one in the heart of Madison between all the farmers markets and CSA options and urban agriculture growing. So I think Tom would be proud if he looked at particularly us here in Wisconsin today of returning to being those yeoman farmers, but on very modern terms in how we do them.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about a declaration of food interdependence.
Definitely interdependence. Food is that thing that brings people together. And it's a thrill and honor to be able to share that during the pledge drive here, because I don't know if you statistically track this, but I think everybody listens to public radio loves food.
Yeah, I think so.
And it brings us together in ways that other things can't. And it's that commonality that we share. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, for the pledge drive is we're honored to be here because the Farmstead Chef cookbook is hot off the press, literally.
Yeah.
So your neighbors don't have this one yet, folks. It's going to be premiered at the Wisconsin Book Festival next weekend. So it's a new baby.
Oh, man. And there are some wonderful looking recipes in here right off the bat. Well, maybe before I go through and rhapsodize about the recipes that I like, tell us how this book is organized.
The book is organized by categories of things we'd look for, anything from nibbles and appetizers to drinks to main dishes. There's a great index in the back that I love in cookbooks and insisted we needed with this, that you can search by key ingredients. So we have a lot of pumpkins and apples right now on the farm. So guess what I cooked up for breakfast at the B&B this morning? So you can search by the key seasonal ingredients as well. But the book is more than a cookbook in the recipe sense, in that there's a lot of information resources for folks who are considering making some changes in their own food approaches. So that's what's great about food, is we all do it three times. I do it more a day. And there's always opportunity for change in every bite we take. So there's resources. There's something called Kitchen Table Talks, where we have interviews and connections with our local farmer friends here and food activists around the country and what they're doing to change what's on our plate.
Lisa Kivirist, one of the authors of Farmstead Chef. Great to have her along today. She with her husband, John Ivanko, own In Serendipity. And we've interviewed them a number of times in the past. It's always a great, great time. You can join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and you can post a question or a comment there. You're a big fan of potlucks.
We love potlucks, partly because I don't have to cook everything. No. Yeah, exactly. Because it's a open invitation for people to share whatever they may be having in the garden, whatever they may have in their fridge. And it's a situation where everybody can contribute, and it's an instant party, indeed.
There was a time that potlucks were outlawed.
Here?
Yeah, wasn't there a time? They were outlawed at one point, weren't they?
In the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
My understanding is now we can legally have potlucks. Indeed, because it's interesting because I think the essence.
I think it had to do with food safety.
You bet. No. And it's interesting because I think it's great to see that local food revival because what it really is based on is trust. And when we lose that trust of, hey, I can eat what you bring and I can share what I have. Yeah. But yes, potlucks are legal in Wisconsin. Go to it.
Oh, there's been a lot of talk in the past few years about the benefits of a 100-mile diet. That is eating primarily things that were grown or raised within about 100 miles of your house. But you take that a lot further, or I should say closer.
We have what we call the 10-foot diet. Yeah. And if you come to our farm, you'll have the 10-foot breakfast of garden to plate, exactly. And we're fortunate where we are, too, in Monroe and Greene County, because we are surrounded by many good cheese factories and throw in a couple breweries. We are about as self-reliant there as you can get. But indeed. So, yeah, there's and right now is that wonderful time of year here where we can celebrate that and importantly start preserving it because we do live in Wisconsin. The snow will fly sooner than later. And it's that time to turn into little squirrels and can and freeze and dehydrate, whatever our thing may be. So there's a lot of tips in the book as well of both doing that and using that in your recipes.
I like this story. I mean, I love the story of how you guys got started, and you talk about that a little bit in the book, and the people who you bought the farm from, who probably could have gotten more money from somebody else. And
yeah, it's interesting. John and I both started on those paths my mother still considers normal people do. You have jobs, and you go to cubicles and you do them and you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. But we were in Chicago at the time and realized early on that just wasn't our calling. It wasn't what we weren't living what we said we valued, particularly on a food note, because most of the food we had at the time was coming in styrofoam containers and getting moldy in the fridge because we were never home to eat it. So change comes to people in different ways. We went cold turkey and left and moved up to Wisconsin. We were initially lured by all those good Wisconsin tourism ads for Chicagoans. Do you know what they want you to leave at the end of the weekend? Come spend your money and go home. Oh, no. We were going to stay. And that was 15 years ago. And our ongoing journey at our place in Serendipity has been to retrofit and restore. So, yes, it was a century farm owned by the same family for over 100 years and wonderful, strong roots that we've been greening, be it through green design elements, anything from the paint we use to how we heat the home to how we get our energy. We are completely powered now by the wind and the sun and give back to our utility. There's a credit check at the end of the year that comes our way. So that's a big part of our story. And a message in Farmstead Chef is that frugality nature of, it's interesting, it's sometimes the closer we get to the food source, the more money we save, but the better we eat as well.
How does that all play into the experience that someone has when they come to visit in Serendipity?
They'll definitely see it on the plate. A lot of our favorite B&B recipes are in the cookbook. And it's very much based on the season. If you would have come a couple weeks ago, I think I could get zucchini and everything except your smoothie. And the last couple days, as I was saying, it's been pumpkins and apples all the way. So it varies a lot by what time of year you're here. But it very much is based on that. What can we find within 10 feet of where you're sitting?
Lisa Kivirist, our guest today. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments as we visit with her. She is the author, with her husband, John Ivanko, of Farmstead Chef. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Jim Fleming. This week on Chapter A Day, I'm joined by Susan Sweeney as we read a book called Summers, A True Love Story by Margot Peters. These are letters exchanged by a boy and a girl in the 1950s, a bittersweet love story with relevance to our time. Join us for Chapter A Day at 12:30 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Talking today with Lisa Kivirist, author of Farmstead Chef, and it's a wonderful book, not only of great recipes that you and I can try out and love and use, but also a philosophy, I think, that they have, that John and Lisa have, about farming and about food. There are some great interviews in there as well with some local farmers and others who contribute to the local food bank, essentially. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post there. I wanted to go to an email from Genevieve in Madison. Other than lots of pesto, are there good ways to use the last of the fresh herbs from the garden? So parsley, sage, mint, that sort of thing, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. And one of the blessings of this warm burst of weather is things have come back. I harvested dill this morning, which is both a little creepy and kind of nice. Yeah, we do a lot of pestos as well. That's one of my favorite ways to freeze herbs, because we are good Wisconsin folks, is you pulverize them with cheese and freeze them. But one of the ways I love to use herbs, particularly some of the mints, is in teas. And we have a recipe for a lemon balm iced tea. But those work great through the fall. I made a batch of that yesterday because the mints are still there. We have a lot of freezer space, so I could even freeze some teas. And there's nothing better than some good herbal tea come January. So we do a lot of freezing of herbs. Dill is one in special that freezes real well. And our son Liam, who's turning 10 this week, had a basil operation going this summer. So he converted his clubhouse, which is the converted chicken coop, is now converted again into a dehydrating station extraordinaire. So drying is always a real simple, easy, lazy person's way that I love to keep those herbs going.
When you freeze the herbs, do you do anything special with them, or what do you...
I try to get as much of the water out as possible. So you want them as dry as possible, okay, just so they'll freeze better. So if I try to pick them when the dew is gone, but things get sometimes a little chaotic at the farm. So we cut them when we can, dry them as best we can, and then importantly, use them. It's interesting because one of our philosophies, if you will, at our farmstead kitchen is, after the holidays, once Christmas rolls around, is... It sounds obvious, but we have to remind ourselves to literally eat the things we preserved. And I've learned frozen zucchini is not red wine. It doesn't improve year to year. So we make a real conscious effort to use those herbs, to use those things we froze and canned. And then come the spring, there's a little room. We defrost the freezer. We have some room in the pantry and we can start fresh again. But that's the idea of eating seasonal, is to eat what you store.
Yeah, and getting it. And so it has to be organized. I found that in the freezer.
Oh, freezer organization is a specialty I'm always working on. Do you know what I did this year for the first time, and it's worked brilliantly, is you still have those back to school sales at the office supply stores, is I got some of these file crates, those big plastic file crates, and I've stacked those in my freezer. So my pesto, I just stack it in one of the freezer container, the file cabinets or whatever, file boxes. And that works really well because, a freezer can be a mystery come February, March of stuff.
Oh, man. We have an email from Becky, who is in the Wisconsin Nutrition Education Program. She coordinates for Columbia and Dodge County. She said, I heard Lisa and John speak last Thursday night at the Fermentation Fest in Reedsburg. Great. They made samples of several items in the cookbook. The leek tarts were delicious. I hope there are some leeks left in the farmer's market because I didn't grow any. Leek tarts.
Oh, hey, thanks, Becky. That's my personal goal, to organize our mad rush on leeks in Wisconsin. We fell in love with growing leeks a couple years ago simply because we loved potato leek soup.
Yeah.
And we grew too many, and it started our love affair with Leek. So the Leek puff pastry tarts Becky's referring to, we were at an event last weekend at the wonderful Fermentation Fest in Reedsburg, and they're sautéed with some Gruyere cheese and some good organic Wisconsin cream, and then put onto puff pastries. And it's a good example from the cookbook, because what we've been working on is trying to get away from the processed. And whenever I'm buying something in a box, asking, is there a way we can make this? And puff pastry is one of the ones we took on, because I love a little puff pastry, a little butter under my Leek. And it came in a box out of the freezer. I didn't even have another option. So I thought, well, yes, there's another option, Lisa. So there's a real simple puff pastry version in the cookbook with this, basically just good Wisconsin butter, some flour, and a little sour cream.
We have Jim and Spooner with a comment or question. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with organic milk. We get some local organic milk delivered to the house, and we really like it, but there's a couple of the kids, younger kids, that really don't like how thick it is. And I'm wondering if your guest had any ideas on ways to strain or take the fat out of some of that milk.
Well, that's fabulous that you can get organic dairy delivered to your door. I wish that was a right of all Wisconsin citizens. Well, honestly, one of our philosophies in our family kitchen is, if it's not working for you, what other options are there? And dairy is a great example, because we have all forms of dairy, if that's your choice for your calciums and nutrients that way. Cheese is a good one. Yogurts are others. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the milk. There's a lot of different ways to do that. I mean, obviously there's other types of milks as well, as far as skim or fat-free and things. If you asked our son, he would just say put chocolate in it, but I don't know if that's the answer you want.
Oh, yeah. It's, the organic, I don't know if there's organic 2% or not.
There's a variety, but there's a variety of all sorts of dairy, you bet.
I think there is, but perhaps not just delivered. Thanks for calling, Jim. Appreciate your call. We have, let's see, what have we got here? An email from Lorraine in Mineral Point. Two of my neighbors have black walnut trees, which make it hard to grow much in the ground, but hoping to make lemons from lemonade, what can I do with the nuts that litter my yard? Black walnuts. Oh, they're so hard to work with.
they're a tough nut to crack, literally. One option as a category that we have several recipes in the cookbook, not one specific for black walnuts, but you can easily adapt, is vodka infusions. Because we use a lot of fruit in those. So basically, if I get tired of eating my raspberries and canning my raspberries and making jam, is putting them in vodka with some sugar, and the vodka will absorb the flavor. And I've had some fantastic nut liqueurs. So the nice thing about that is you don't have to get too picky. If there's some shells in there, don't worry about it, because you're going to strain it out before you use it. So that might be something to explore that your neighbors will probably love you for.
Lisa Kivirist, our guest today. Judith Sears-Poisson joins us as well. And we're in our membership campaigns, almost over now. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It is. And we are looking for 78 more pledges in the next hour. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, please help us stay on track. Help make our Half the Time pledge drive a success by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend. With program notes on the website and audio archives, you can pass things on. Maybe you already do.
It's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas, stories, and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can receive this great book we've been talking about called Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivirist. It's our thank you gift to you for your pledge of $120 or more. Your pledge will help support the programs, and you'll enjoy this thank you gift, the book Farmstead Chef, when you pledge $120 right now, your pledge of any amount supports WPR's programs at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
You can't really tell who's a public radio listener by what they wear or how they look. No, this group identifies itself by their interest in learning about the world around them.
I always thought we should have a secret handshake or something, but maybe that's
well,
just
we do
me.
Have one, actually.
Do we?
Jim Packard
oh,
and
I'm
I
the only one that doesn't know.
Jim Packard and I developed one, and I've promised to divulge it to anyone who donated $1,000 or more.
Well.
And I got a couple of people to do that.
Wow.
And I had to show them the handshake.
Oh, interesting. Well, if you don't know the secret handshake, look in the mirror anyway. You are a public radio listener. You're curious, informed, active, and aware. The kind of radio that you expect here at WPR comes with a pretty steep price tag. And public radio listeners like you and me become public radio members to support it.
So take a moment now to become who you truly are, a public radio member. Make your contribution, any amount, securely online at WPR.org. Or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Listener contributions make up more than one-third of our budget. The number of listeners who contribute to WPR is growing, and that's key to our strength. We're asking you to jump on that bandwagon today.
Getting more donors, just 1% or 2% more of the audience, makes a huge difference to WPR. With your gift, you can help Wisconsin Public Radio stay strong. Give now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for 76 more pledges in just a little less than an hour. Help out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This Half the Time pledge drive ends at 7 o'clock tonight. We need a big, big response right now to raise what it takes to pay for the programs. So don't delay. Pledge now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And remember to ask for the book Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivarist with your pledge of $120 or more. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sarah from Green Bay says she loves listening to WPR. The stories and the programs are so interesting. Always learn something new. And she says, thanks for providing a great service. Well, thank you if you've already contributed. If you haven't contributed, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks again. And stay listening here as we visit with Lisa Kivarist, farmer, innkeeper, author. Oh, my goodness. She does all kinds of things. She and her husband, John Ivanko, own In Serendipity Farm and B&B just outside of Monroe. They've just published a new book. It's called Farmstead Chef. And so great to have her along. And certainly if you have questions or comments as we move along, maybe you've got some questions about the book. Maybe you have some questions about locally grown food. Maybe you have some questions about recipes. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to the Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show and you can post a question or a comment or even a photo right there. Marie from Wanakee emails that she grows leeks but started them too late and they have such a long growing season. Right now they're still in the ground and are the size of green onions. Can she still use them? I think she could still use
them. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. One of the approaches in the Farmstead Chef Cookbook is what we call being Farmsteadarian, which is resourcefully using what you have. And leeks are a great example of that. Yeah, they'll be milder, more like a green onion to what you said. I have the reverse problem, actually. We planted our leeks on schedule early, and they just grew really well. That they're the size of baseball bats, just about. You know what I'm going to be for Halloween, Larry? I'm going to be the statue of Leakerty, and I'm going to hold one of those as my torch. And I have the reverse problem because what I need to do, I cooked a quiche this morning at the B&B with a leek and had to really take time to cook it slowly because the outside greens get pretty tough. Yeah. And you need to give it some time to soften up. But you won't have that problem, Marie, because yours are nice, gentle baby varietals.
So you're good. Do you guys do a special Halloween event at In Serendipity, or do you...
No, I just walk around as the statue of Leaker T. and Monroe, and people say, oh, that's that interesting couple on County P. They let them out, yes.
Oh, man. Well, you were talking about preserving the bounty of the garden. You talk about that quite a bit in your book, too, just how you make things last.
Indeed. It's interesting because preserving the harvest is almost a personal issue in what you're passionate about and what you like to do. I've mentioned freezing a couple times. That's my way to do it. We have a big 13 cubic foot chest freezer. The chest freezers, because they open up from the top, are typically much more energy efficient than a conventional refrigerator one that would open from the front. We keep it in the northeast corner of our basement. Why? Because that's the coldest spot, so it has to run the less. And we fill it up, and as I mentioned, eat through it. So that works for us because it's a less time-intensive thing. I can literally throw whole tomatoes on a tray freeze them, and then put them in a bag and let them cook down in the winter when I have more time. But maybe canning's your thing. Maybe dehydrating's your thing. Mm-hmm. Wherever you click, that's where your passion should lie and where your interest should go as far as what and how, importantly, you want to preserve foods.
We have an email from Jeff in Rhinelander, and this has to do to the question that the caller who called in about whole milk and the kids not liking how thick it is. And Jeff says if you let the milk sit for just a couple of days, it'll separate and you can take off the cream on top, and the bottom becomes the 2% or 1% maybe milk. And that's true, actually. That they always say cream rises to the top, and in this, actually, that's what happens.
You bet. And these are great comments because this is exactly what we're talking about here, of getting back to our food sources. Literally, we forgot how real milk operates. We forget what, in many cases, a leak even looks like. And it's great to see the interest in that sharing of information because that's what's going to keep us going.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so another emailer said you could buy a tabletop cream separator to reduce the fat content on your milk. If the milk's homogenized, I don't know how that would work. But anyway, probably the simplest is just let it sit for a couple of days and then just skim that cream right off the top.
Nothing wrong with cream. Make some of those leek tarts.
Whoa, boy. Join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Got to go to your book because we've talked about these leeks and potato pancakes, but in the near the front, where is that tomato?
Oh, yeah. My tomato breakfast pie.
That fresh tomato breakfast pie sounds just wonderful. Talk a little bit about that particular. How did that one come about?
Bountiful tomatoes, bottom line. And a lot of the joy I find in seasonal eating is that foods do take on different consistencies, different tastes throughout the year. So a canned tomato, a frozen tomato is different than fresh. And a couple years ago, I was focusing on how can we eat the fresh. I mean, yes, you can slice a tomato and it's wonderful, but there's certain recipes that really call for that fresh produce, and this is one of them. So it's a quiche, basically, but not just for breakfast, folks. It's sort of pizza in a quiche pie, if you will. So it has a lot of fresh tomatoes, but it also has some fresh basil, some cheeses. We like to put cheddar and Swiss in there, and it goes onto a pastry crust. But we do serve it for breakfast, but it's a lovely picnic takeaway food and an evening snack as well. But I think I might have made my last one of those last week. The tomatoes are still ripening on our counter, so I might be able to push one or two more out of that.
Oh, it sounded great. Judy in Rhinelander has a question or comment. Hi, Judy.
Ah, good morning. I just have a question for your guest. I've tried canning carrots. I've tried freezing carrots, and I'm not happy with any of the results. Does she have a better way?
We root cellar ours and eat them quickly.
Yeah.
I hear exactly what you're saying. Carrots are a great example of foods that take on different consistencies, and some people like them, some people don't. But those are one of those things, we are just pulling them out of the gardens as we speak and trying to eat them through the holidays, but we keep them in our basement in a root cellar situation.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do, but I was just wondering anybody out there has a good way, because freezing just does not cut it.
All right. Well, thanks for Judy. Stay listening, because somebody else may have an idea as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Jordan from Big Sur, we turn to you. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I'm just really excited. I'm driving through Wisconsin and heard the radio show, and I couldn't be more tickled.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what's on your mind? Do you have a question?
I have to put this in context quickly. This is fantastic. Hi, Jordan. Jordan is one of our kitchen table talks. She's a Midwest gal at heart, but she and her husband Todd run Happy Girl Kitchen out in Big Sur, which is a fantastic pickling business. And they work with local farmers and utilize their abundance and pickle it in all sorts of forms. So I didn't know she was around, or I would have had her over for breakfast this morning. But you see, Jordan, we talk about you all the time here. But they are a fantastic example, and they have wonderfully contributed some of their recipes for the naturally fermented foods, the pickles and the kimchis, mm-hmm. and you'll read about their inspiring story in there as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, really excited to actually see the book. But Lisa, I'm just wondering, what's the most exciting recipes out of the book you're cooking these days now that the chilly autumn season has descended upon us?
Aside from your good pickling recipes, you bet. Well, I'm all about pumpkin this time of year. I think pumpkins are underrated. I like the whole jack-o'-lantern thing. I do, but we forget that we can eat them. So we have a couple unique combos, because pumpkin always needs to be paired with something. There's a bread recipe in the cookbook for pumpkin peanut butter bread, which we do a lot at the B&B. And who knew pumpkin and peanut butter dance so well together? And we have a pumpkin squash fritter, where it's a fritter, basically fried a little bit like a donut, if you will. So I love pumpkins, and we will be sampling those. Actually, we'll be sampling the pumpkin peanut butter bread. I mentioned briefly the book's going to be premiered this Saturday at the Wisconsin Book Festival. Yeah. So we'll be tasting lots of this good stuff. It's going to be at noon at the First Unitarian Church as part of our state book festival. So Jordan, how long are you staying? We need you to come by.
Yum. Unfortunately, it's a very quick, spontaneous trip, and I'll give you a call later.
Okay.
But I'm so thankful for the work that you're both doing, because you're giving people a chance to get connected with their food.
Wow. That's wonderful. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. So that was a nice surprise for her when she is driving through and she turns on the radio, and there you are, Lisa. Gene and Ashland. We'll go to you next. Hi, Jean.
Hi. Saw the article in Mary Jane's Farm Magazine, and I was wondering, how much are you into two things, sources of vitamin A, like pumpkin, lamb's quarters, dandelion greens, and how much are you doing solar cooking, and are you teach it? It's very, very important worldwide information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you bet. Yeah. Mary Jane's Farm Magazine featured our solar cooking efforts in their magazine last month, and we love it. We got a sun oven a couple years ago, and I tell you, it's the one thing we truly are kicking ourselves that we should have bought years ago, because it paid for itself from an energy perspective several times over. We just open up that baby and it heats up to 325 degrees in about half an hour. No plug required and no bill. So we use it primarily for baking, and it's great for heating leftovers as well. We use it year round. You can obviously cook longer during the solstice in the summer versus the solstice in the winter, because we have more sun time, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's something I'd encourage anybody to explore, because it's a great educational tool as well. I just finished writing an article on urban solar enthusiasts, and we had B&B guests last year that inspired the article. They live in Milwaukee, and they have a same sort of sun solar oven. They stick it on their front stoop, and it's amazing. This big silver thing that's attracting heat, anybody and everybody will come by and talk about it. It's an instant block party. It's a great community builder. So if you're in an urban area, definitely consider one of those. And your other question about pumpkins, I think I was already giving my ode to pumpkins. But yeah, it's amazing when you and I'm not by any means, maybe confess, a nutritionist by trade or practice, but that basic principle of seasonal eating gives you all those vitamins year round. It's what, you know, the Little House on the Prairie folks knew, as far as eating a lot of something at a certain time and maybe not others, but it all balances within the year. And yeah, you bet. Eat those pumpkins. Don't just put candles in them.
Well, there's a lot of good pumpkin beer out there, too.
There you go.
my wife bet. has a particular fondness for two or three different kinds of pumpkin beers.
But we have a beer cheese soup recipe in the cookbook, which would taste fantastic with something like that.
Thanks again, Gene, for calling. Appreciate your call. Ron in Sauk City, it's your turn. Hi, Ron.
Oh, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
As your screener pointed out, beets seem to be a polarizing subject. People either hate them or they love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lover, and this year I planted way too many beets. And pickled beets are always, you know, popular at the holiday tables, but you can only do so many pickled beets. So this year with my overindulgence in beets, I went online because I was introduced to borscht by an army buddy who was of Russian extraction in another lifetime, years and years mm-hmm. ago. And I came up with a borscht recipe. Well, it's not really a recipe. It's trial and error. And it freezes beautifully. And everybody loves it. Beet lovers, non-beet lovers. It's an elegant red color. You just freeze the jar and then put the lid on it. And like your guest, I have a lot of freezer space. And it is just the best way to use beets that I've come up with. And it's, you know, potatoes and onions, and it's probably better described as a root soup. But just works well.
Oh,
I'm so with you, Ron. Beets are so underrated, and I think just one of the most beautiful fall vegetables. What I like to do with them is, we had the same sort of situation a couple of years ago with a bumper beet crop. What do? And developed a recipe for beet burgers. So they're basically shredded beets, and you can use other root crops, carrots as well, and make a patty. So there's some eggs, there's mm-hmm. cheese, there's sunflower seeds and sesame seeds. And it's interesting because we served them to my dad, and he really thought they were a burger because it had that consistency and that color of a meat hamburger. They freeze real well. So that's my way of using beets, is making triple batches of the beet burger recipe, freezing them on a tray, and then you have easy patties you can use all winter.
And I just made some beets. I had beets last night. So beets and potatoes. And let's see what else we have. Some carrots, and we had some red pepper and some onion. And that all went on the grill. And we grilled those. And I tell you, beets grilled get a very sweet. And they are really, it's a different flavor, and it's wonderful.
And there's so many different varietals of beets, too. We have the traditional reds, but then we have some candy striped, some golden. Yeah. There's a variety of beets to explore.
Yeah.
Exactly, and the sweetness is what people miss, I think, when they buy processed beets. I mean, there's nothing more boring than opening a can of beets.
You bet.
But if you can open a can of those beets and put them on the grill, and they'll actually change, and the sweetness of the canned beets. I was just going to tell you, Ron, you should can some of your beets, not pickle them, just can them and use them on the grill later. Because it'll work that way. Lisa Kivirist, our guest today, she is one of the two authors of the book Farmstead Chef. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network, talking today with Lisa Kivirist about her book Farmstead Chef, Recipes and Stories to Nourish and Inspire. Well, I tell you, we have a couple of inspiring people also joining us, Judith Sears-Poisson and Michelle Good, our roving reporter. Michelle, have you got something to inspire me?
I do, Larry. Well, as you know, our goal this drive is to raise all the money we need, $1 million in just 6 days. Foolish, possibly. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous? Crazy, even? Well, today is the sixth day of the drive, the last, the final, the concluding day, and we are nearly there. We have raised $859,227, which is great. It's awesome. It's terrific. But we have to make this goal, and we are not there yet. We still need close to $140,000 before the end of the day. That's about 7 hours away. So what are you waiting for, listeners? Show your support for the radio you've come to rely on. Show your support for the programs you said you cannot live without, like Larry Mueller. And do it now. Don't wait. Here's Larry and Judith to tell you how.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. Well, it's easy to do, isn't it, Judith?
It's very easy, and it really literally only takes 2 minutes of your time. Just go to WPR.org to do it online or call 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 51 pledges in the next about 40 minutes or so. So
we can do that.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that.
One or so per minute, or maybe a little bit more. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs you count on. They help us reduce on-air fundraising by making the half the time drive a success. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't given, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one caller, one listener, one member made their donation and commented, well, we could live without WPR, but we sure don't want to. There's a good chance you feel exactly the same way if you're listening right now, that listening to WPR each day makes your life better.
Whether it's keeping up with international news, enjoying classical music, the laughs you get from the weekend shows, or the fascinating discussions on the Ideas Network, always something good to listen to, I think, because WPR makes your life better. I hope you'll help fund it.
And you might not realize it, but we do count on listeners like you for more than one third of our budget. Your pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated. We appreciate every pledge, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. We've talked about the book Farmstead Chef by Lisa Kivirist and John Ivanko, which you can get with a pledge of $120 or more.
But thanks to their generosity, we can also offer you a one-night stay at Lisa and John's in
Whoa.
Serendipity, which is outside Monroe and Greene County. This one-night stay is yours for a pledge of $600 that breaks out to $50 a month, and it includes a farm tour and bountiful local breakfast with produce from the farm's organic gardens and recipes from Farmstead Chef.
Oh, that is so wonderful. It's a one-night stay at Inn Serendipity for your pledge of $600 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's just wonderful.
People often talk about the high quality of life in Wisconsin. We have great state parks, a respected university system, wonderful libraries, amazing bed and breakfasts like in Serendipity. Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of the high quality of life we enjoy here in Wisconsin.
On WPR, you enjoy lively discussions. We have in-depth news. We have great music and entertainment. Help pay for the variety you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your donation. Please give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging. Maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we're here to tell you that we are. More than one third of our budget comes directly from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while and see if you liked what you heard.
And here you are still listening all these months or years later. So how about a donation now? After you've given, you'll feel great every time you tune in. So pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've cut our fall pledge drive in half. With surgical precision, we've excised 6 days from our usual 12-day fundraiser. Help us suture up this pledge drive neatly so it doesn't leave a scar on our budget. Ensure the health of your favorite programs by giving now.
Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson and here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is such a big part of why we're here to talk with you right now. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this hour you can receive the book Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivirist when you make a contribution of $120 or more. Your donation supports the programs you love. And you can also get this nice thank you gift with your pledge of $120. Pledge now. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You get value from this program. You also enjoy Joy Cardine and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and Prairie Home Companion, many others that you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I hope you'll help pay for the programs you depend on. Help us raise those funds in just half the days of a normal fall drive, 6 instead of 12. We're looking for 44 more pledges in the next 32 minutes or so. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're just a little more than halfway to our goal. You can help us get there. WPR is probably a preset in on your home radio or in your car, probably your home and your car. Maybe it's even a preset in more than one room in your home. You listen to WPR a lot, and it's time to become a contributing member.
Help pay for the station you use on a regular basis. Make that switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. Do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We all look for ways to economize with both our money and our time. Well, here's a way you can economize while supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Become a sustaining member. Choose an amount that's right for you and have it charged monthly from your bank account or credit card.
And when you're a sustainer, your pledge will renew automatically each year, so you won't have to send you renewal mailings. Saves us paper, time, and stamps. Give now, really, in whatever way is best for you. But 31 more minutes to go to reach our goal, and we do that with your contribution at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Support for WPR comes from the Port Washington Tourism Council, nestled on the shores of Lake Michigan with boutique shopping, lighthouses, walking tours, history, gourmet and family restaurants, biking, and more. Visitor guide at visitportwashington.com.
I'm Pam Fessler. I cover poverty and talk to some of the poorest people in America. I'm always struck by how much they want their stories told, but also how much they want to hear other people's stories. I met one homeless man who lived in an encampment under a bridge. He told me whenever he has a place to live, he listens to NPR. We reach places and people nobody else does. This is NPR.
The old saying goes, you are what you eat, and more people are taking that to heart, focusing on enjoying what's in season, growing close to home. And grown close to home. Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. My guest is farmer, innkeeper, and author Lisa Kivirist, and her new book is Farmstead Chef. She's here for the next half hour to share the philosophy behind it. How much of what you eat do you produce yourself? Do you freeze or can when it's bountiful? Do you have chickens for eggs and more? Love to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234 to join in. And please visit our Facebook page. When you get there, you can leave a question, a comment, or a photo. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the Facebook page address. And while you're there, like the page to get regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with Lisa Kivirist right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about food today and recipes and stories to nourish and inspire with our guest, Lisa Kivirist, along with John Ivanko, wrote Farmstead Chef. I'm telling you, it's a great book, because not only are there wonderful recipes, but there's also philosophy discussed in the book that I think is fascinating and well worth your attention. You may have questions or comments for her as we go along. Maybe it's about food or recipes. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. An email from Catherine in Mequon, who said, this year I started preserving fresh herbs by chopping them in the food processor with olive oil. Then I freeze them in wide mouth mason jars. When I need fresh herbs for a recipe, I use a knife to cut out a frozen chunk. I have had success with both stovetop and oven recipes. Also, mason jars are great for freezer storage. So what do you think?
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm always on the lookout for those good canning jars. Did you hear Ball canning jars had one of their best years on record this past year because of this great renaissance of people gardening. And you start gardening, you've got abundance, and you get creative with it. And there's just nothing better than putting it in a canning jar.
We have an email from Sarah in Madison. It says, I apologize if this comes across as a little cranky, but I've tried to eat locally and found it financially impossible for me. I agree that most people will save money because they will spend a lot of food on food to start with, but I've always cooked from scratch. I live in a small apartment, no room really for a freezer or to store home canned goods, only a small patio for container gardening, not so much. Any suggestions for those of us with limited means and space? I'd love to eat local if there's a realistic way to do it.
You bet. That's a great question and something we're all challenged with because, except for those people with unlimited financial resources that will write big checks to Wisconsin Public Radio during the pledge drive, we all have limited means in different ways, be it financial or time or space. So, that's a really good question. And one thing is to look at space from a what can you store where bit. People with smaller spaces will often get more into the canning because you can put them in a closet. You could put them in the basement. You could put them in the attic. You could store them in your trunk. I mean, you have more flexibility in where you store that. But another opportunity, too, and it's wonderful to see throughout Wisconsin, is the revival of community gardens and having places outside of your own property where you can go and garden in community. And that's where the real magic happens. And it's great to see all the questions and emails coming up on the show today, because that's what the Farmstead Chef is all about, is connecting our ideas and resources together. And you definitely see that in the community garden setting, because it may turn out that somebody right down the block from you has extra freezer space, has something, and that sharing and that collaboration happens without a plan, happens rather serendipitously in that sense. But we need to put ourselves in the situations where we'll meet people who help us along the way.
You know, I want to go back to your something that you've been very generous about donating, which is a one-night stay for a pledge of $600 or more during the pledge drive. That's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, we're happy and honored to do that. There's great cross-pollination between the things we cook up at In Serendipity and public radio listeners. John and I joke that public radio is like the official soundtrack of our farm. It's probably the official soundtrack of farmers in Wisconsin. We listen to it all the time. Yeah, we are donating a gift certificate, which is a $125 value for people pledging at the sustainer level. So it's a good value there too. And I'll tell you what, even if you do that and you email me a couple days ahead of time of what you want me to cook out of the Farmstead Chef cookbook, I will gladly do that for you. And if you want an early breakfast on Saturday morning, we'll put Garden Talk on with Larry in the background for you. So it'll be a true public radio experience.
Oh, and that's for a contribution of $600. And I'll just mention, again, you can just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. We'd love that. And you have a chance to spend a night at In Serendipity.
You bet. And again, for folks contributing at that $120 level and receiving the Farmstead Chef cookbook, it's hot off the press, so you'll be the first in the neighborhood to have one of those, and right in time for the holidays.
William in Palmyra, it is your turn. Hi, William. Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call. Somebody called about having a low budget and trying to buy organic food.
Yes.
And locally grown food, and my wife, Elizabeth, and I have been doing this for many years, and we live month to month as far as budget, but we never have a problem, and I thought I might share a little bit of how we did that.
Mm-hmm.
How we do that.
Sure.
One thing is that we grow a lot of things, and last year we moved into an upper in downtown Palmyra, and there's no yard. There's just a two-story building on each side and a narrow courtyard, and yet we grew 20 squash and green beans and peppers and tomatoes and herbs. And we got our manure from a local farm that's organic that gave us their poop, their cow manure, excuse me. And we do that. And also we figure that when we purchase things, and we do have food stamps too, it's our health insurance to purchase organic. And, of course, we have a deep freeze, and we look for sales, and we dry things, we can things. and we freeze things, and we shrink wrap things with a vacuum sealer.
Oh.
And also, we go out in the woods during the summer, and we find all kinds of edible things that we use. Elderberry jams and muffins that I make, and blackberries, blueberries, solomon seal root, all kinds of things that are out there.
Well, you know, that sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, that's inspiring, William. Thanks for sharing. You are the true essence of the farmsteadarian eater in that you're putting together a lot of different things, and you have that tenacity for self-resilience and self-reliance to make it happen. It is interesting. He started his question of, you know, it's expensive to go out and buy organic. Yeah, if you just roll your cart through the aisle and all you're looking for is that green and white label, it is, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about putting together whatever pieces you may have in a way that you like to eat throughout the year. So that's the attitude that is so important and so growing, particularly in our state.
Yeah. Thank you so much, William. Tonya has a comment on the sort of on the same thing, so let's go to her in Delavan. Thanks, Tonya, for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been in Serendipity through Michael Fields Ag Institute as a student about 10 years ago, and I'm so glad you're still going strong.
Thank you.
And what they did and what you did were an inspiration for me, and now I'm growing organically, and I have a 3-acre vegetable operation that I do. And I wanted to say to the gal in the apartment is that, you know, one option that we always welcome on our farm is if you need food, we always need help.
Oh.
So people can come and they can work and go home. We will send them home with vegetables that they won't even know what to do with them all.
What is the best way? And you sound like you got a little one there, too.
Yeah, I do. My daughter in the back.
What's the best way? I mean, for people to, and I really do like that idea of going and doing a little work on a farm for that. And I don't know, Lisa, is there a good way for people to kind of hook up with, and we actually lost our caller. Sorry, we lost to her. But is there a good idea for people to, a good way for people to hook up?
Most definitely. What we're talking about here is developing relationships on a first-name basis with your farmer versus your doctor. And once those relationships start developing, there's all sorts of opportunities. Most CSAs in the area around here in Madison and throughout the state will offer what Tonya's talking about of worker shares. So you may contribute X hours for a discount in your share or the full cost of your share or whatever it may be. Definitely approach area farmers that you've developed relationships with and see what can happen there. But there's always opportunity for that. There's always work to be done on the farm.
Yeah.
And it's a easy barter in that sense. And too, when you're developing these relationships with farmers, if you're shopping at the markets, for example, there's always extra abundance of produce as well for harvesting. Farmers are bringing to the market their best, their most mm-hmm. perfect tomatoes. But I guarantee there's probably bushels back at the farm that if they knew people wanted them for canning and making sauce or other things, that would be happy to sell at a bulk rate there. So mm-hmm. there's all sorts of ideas.
Thanks, Tonya.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that call. Email from Pat in Bayfield County. I was unable to attend the Plate to Politics event here in the Northland at Claire Hintz Farm this fall. Can you talk a bit about organizations that are involved and their effort to strengthen women's roles in transforming our nation's food system?
Yeah, well, thank you, Pat. You're asking about my other hat I proudly wear, working with MOSES, the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Service. I direct their Rural Women's Project that does outreach to women farmers. So she's talking about a workshop series we did this summer called In Her Boots, Sustainable Farming for Women by Women, that is encouraging more women to run food-based businesses and start farms. So we had great response to that. There's been a 30% increase nationally of women starting farms, and mm-hmm. not surprisingly, that number's being driven by women like Claire Hintz up in Ashland of small-scale, locally-focused, sustainable operations. So MOSES is a great resource for anybody in the Midwest looking at organic farming. It's mosesorganic.org. We host the largest organic farming conference in the country coming up in February. So tons of resources to look at on the website, including the Rural Women's Project, which is more specific to women growers.
Mm-hmm. There we go. We have, a Facebook comment here from Hope, who says, for the caller, remember we had a caller wondering what to do with carrots a little while back? faith are from, or rather hope says, I pickle them by cutting them in sticks and just to add a hint of cayenne pepper. I also had another batch where I pickled carrots with the large variety of kohlrabi in sticks, and the white and orange jars are just beautiful. So she added, she did it with kohlrabi.
Oh, this is great. I just love the exchange of ideas. You start talking about food and preserving and connecting with people who are passionate about it. One thing that I love doing, particularly where we live in Greene County, where we have a abundant and wonderful and incredibly knowledgeable senior population, is tapping into that wealth of knowledge. I'm always talking to our neighbors who grew up in the Victory Garden era of how do you creatively preserve things? How do I do this? And sometimes if I'm real lucky, they'll stop by the kitchen and start telling me of how I can improve things. Or you don't really want to be doing it that way, Lisa, and I am always all ears.
Well, we had, I like the idea of pickled carrots. That sounds good. And Heidi in Richland Center just heard a caller requesting info on preserving carrots. We shred them, spread them on a cookie sheet, and freeze. And when frozen, we put in a quart-size freezer zip-top bags. Through the winter, we put a handful of shredded carrot in meatloaf, lasagna, pasta sauces, and soups. And that has worked very well for us. I like that idea, too.
Well, and the essence of all of these ideas is thinking about what works for you when it comes to organizing and eating seasonally. I can always tell every spring in March of what I have a lot of. And whatever I have a lot of, I probably shouldn't be preserving that much of, or I should be doing something different with. Last year, I had a lot of frozen pea pods. I love pea pods in the spring. I love them fresh, but they're different frozen. And this summer, I was trying to use more of the pea pods fresh. Once I got tired of eating them raw off the vine, doing different stir fries and sautés, and not freezing as many and freezing more of other things.
We have lots. This has been a lot of fun, Lisa. Thank you so much. It's always a great pleasure to have Lisa Kivaris with us. She is the author with John Ivanko of Farmstead Chef. And Judith Sears-Poisson joining us as well. Judith.
I'm back.
What are you doing here? Why are you here?
Well, I am here because we're almost to the end of our Half the Time Pledge Drive. So your gift right now is essential. At 7 o'clock tonight, right on the button, this drive is over. Tomorrow, you'll hear all your favorite programs fundraising free. And that's when you're really going to appreciate the 6 days instead of 12 is starting tomorrow. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 9 pledges in
that's
the next.
So close.
Yeah, in the next 9.5 minutes. So that's, we've got it. I can't believe we can't make. We've got to make that. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong, helps us keep this drive short, only 6 days instead of 12. So make your contribution right now. Be one of those 9 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We know you've been enjoying the conversation with Lisa Kivarist about food. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours to come possible. Nourish the show. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day. Then make your pledge. It's as simple as that. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And our guest today, Lisa Kivarist, has an inn outside Monroe in Greene County. It's called Inn Serendipity. You will receive a gift certificate for a one-night stay to Inn Serendipity if you pledge $600 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your stay at the inn will include a farm tour, beautiful local breakfast with produce from the farm's organic gardens, and recipes from Farmstead Chef Michelle Good joining us. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful. I want to head out there.
I know. And really, it's only $50 a month if you break it out through a sustaining membership. So.
Oh, that's completely affordable.
Yeah. Well, how are we doing?
Well, we have fewer than 7 hours left in our Half the Time Pledge Drive, which is less than 7 hours to raise the remaining $140,000 that we need to make our goal. Can we do it? Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Are we nervous?
A little bit.
No, no, we can do this. We can reach our $1 million goal, but we need your help. Get to that phone, boot up that computer, turn on that cell phone, and pledge now. Now, maybe you have been so enthralled with the incredible programming over the past 5 days that
it happens.
You didn't notice we were having a pledge drive.
You were so focused on the pauses in between the pledges.
That could be it. So I'm letting you know right now, snap out of it. The time has come. You need to rise to the occasion. And I mean physically get out of your chair. Walk to your phone or your computer and make that pledge right now. Not later. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. Pledge for Larry. Pledge for Judith. Pledge for that great night at the inn. Where else are you going to find a deal like that? Nowhere but public radio. Don't delay. Make your contribution now. And back to Larry and Judith to tell you how to do it.
Thanks,
yeah,
Michelle.
Thank you so much. It's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone us at 888-202-2552.
And we've been talking about this great one-night stay at Inn Serendipity for your pledge of $600 or more. Breaks down to $50 a month. It's doable. It's great support for Wisconsin Public Radio. And you get pampered and treated wonderfully in the process. Or if you would like to receive the book Farmstead Chef, that's yours for a pledge of $120 or more. But your pledge of any amount supports WPR programs and is very needed right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, the best of public radio is like really great storytelling. I think you listen because it's engaging. Sometimes it'll stop you in your tracks. Sometimes it moves you.
It's really personal. It's like a voice on the other end of your phone line. It can feel like what you're hearing is intended just for you.
And know what? It is. It is just intended for you. Listeners are why WPR exists. Members are why we'll thrive and continue to grow in the future. Make your pledge now for the future of WPR. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every donation to WPR makes a difference, and that includes leadership gifts that make big projects possible. Help WPR with an annual gift at the leadership level of $1,000 or more. And with that, you would be able to pick up on that great one-night stay at Inn Serendipity, too. Perfect combo. To set up a leadership pledge, visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thank you in advance for your gift of any amount.
If you cut a news story in half, you'd miss important facts, details, and context. But if you cut fundraising in half, you hear more of the stories you want. Wisconsin Public Radio has cut the fall pledge drive to half the time, from 12 days to just 6. But we still need to raise all the money it takes to pay for the programs and stories you count on. Please help by contributing now. Here's how.
Here's how to do it. You just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Lisa Kivirist, our guest today. And Lisa, it's been this is a wonderful book that you have and a wonderful drive. I know you have strong feelings about WPR.
Oh, we sure do. And I wanted to thank you, Larry. Thank Wisconsin Public Radio for really championing the voice of farmers and the sustainable agriculture and the food community in Wisconsin. As we evidence with the callers today, you connect the people in Wisconsin that are passionate about our agriculture heritage, about what's on our plate, and most importantly, about the future of where we are going here. And it's so important to talk about these issues. This is the place where you bring farmers on the air. Yeah. I know I brought my farmer friends to you and chefs and educators and everybody across the board to give different opinions on how we can do that. And that is so important. And we are honored to be a part of the small piece of the pie to keep that going.
It's a big community of listeners, isn't it, Judith?
It is. And, you know, maybe your gift is $50 or $100 or $600 to get that one-night stay at Inn Serendipity. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge, we appreciate it. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Consider asking for the book Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivirist as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At the risk of making Larry blush over here, I'm going to talk directly to you listeners. I know from answering your calls every day how much you enjoy listening to Larry and how impressed you are, even amazed by his knowledge of so many topics. It's clear you also appreciate how friendly and down-to-earth he is, and I'm here to tell you he really is as nice a guy as he sounds like he is. Larry brings his enthusiasm for life in Wisconsin to every program, and that's what makes this show so unique and so worthy of your support. So show that support now with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, you went and made me blush. I hate that when you do that.
Oh, you have to learn to take those compliments.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. We have 99 pledges now.
Wow. That's one. Oh, 100.
We're at,
it just rolled to 100.
And we've raised $14,807 on this program. We have 870, probably about 872,000. The overall grand total runs a little behind. So we're still looking for probably about $120,000 overall for our goal.
So thank you for helping us meet our hourly goal, but please help us meet that large overall goal by 7 o'clock tonight. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it for this drive. Today is your last chance to pledge your support for this show, which you're listening to during this membership drive.
And the way to do that is to go to WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You can ask for the book Farmstead Chef by John Ivanko and Lisa Kivaris with your pledge of $120, or we'll send you a gift certificate for a one-night stay at Lisa and John's in Serendipity in Greene County for a pledge of $600. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thanks to everybody who has already pledged. Please pledge now if you haven't done so. And thank you very much for listening on the Ideas Network.